Today's Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the just decrees that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live. And go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and just decrees so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him." And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean." And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson from the book of Mark. This text follows last week's lesson when the Pharisees came to argue with Jesus. Pharisees, who were very enthusiastic about the law, did not appreciate the fact that Jesus' disciples were not washing their hands before they ate. Now, it says something about the disciples. That's the worst the Pharisees could get on them. They didn't wash their hands. You know, sometimes we pick on the disciples for, you know, being naive and things like that. But they had to be strong believers. They were keeping the law to the best of their ability. This is the worst the Pharisees could come up with. They didn't wash properly. What? That would be almost the equivalent of if you got a memo from the boss that you had sent him, and he sent it back across the T because you forgot to do it. That's the only comment he had. Okay. By the way, the washing of the hands, that was tradition. That was not scriptural. So when Jesus' disciples did not wash their hands before eating the bread, they were not breaking the law. They were breaking tradition. Oh, I had to read my own writing again. My writing's getting smaller for whatever reason. And sometimes it's a little hard to read. Anyway, last week Jesus turned the whole tables on the Pharisees and said, remember guys, you've broken the fourth commandment. Fourth commandment is honoring your father and your mother. Honoring your father and your mother is an important concept in the Old Testament. It is so strong that in Exodus 21:17, it says, and he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. I would say that God takes that commandment quite seriously. But what the Pharisees were doing is they would give a portion of their wealth, and I'm summarizing last week, so hopefully in a couple minutes, they were taking a portion of their wealth, setting it aside for the church. Then when their parents were in need, oh, sorry, it's all been set aside for the church someday. I can't help you at all. You know, when the Pharisees would perform their worship, they would attempt to draw near to God with their mouths and honor him with their lips, but their hearts were far, far from him. Remember the story Jesus tells of the Pharisee in the temple, and you have the tax collector. The tax collector says, you know, woe to me, I am a sinner. And the Pharisee stands there, beats his chest and says, God, I am so good. This is all the things I've done for you. And thank you that I am not like this lowlife over here. That's the Pharisee's idea of worship. You know, we can put on a nice outward shell, but God can see our intentions. The biggest crime, if you want to say, or fault, maybe is a better term, of the Pharisees was that they equated tradition to Scripture. By the way, one of the things that Martin Luther railed against the Catholic Church was they were putting tradition on the same level as Scripture. And just so I get my Catholic bash out, even today, when the Pope speaks in a certain official capacity, it equals Scripture. No. So you know what? We have the same problems today when it comes to church tradition and Scripture that they had during Jesus' day. Jesus had no problems defending against useless tradition. He also would attack and point out hypocrisy wherever it was found. He says, and when he called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. This is right after he got done arguing with the Pharisees. Now what goes into the mouth of a man defiles him, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? Oh, they were offended. But he answered them and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch. Then Peter answered him and said to him, explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, are you also without understanding? Do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. After Jesus had gotten done arguing with the Pharisees, our gospel lesson, he immediately calls the people to talk to them. He turned away from the arrogant and influential Pharisees and scribes And now he turns to the people so that they can understand what's going on. He says it's not unclean hands and it defiles a person because that's coming from the outside in. In other words, one way of putting this, we don't offend God by what we eat. That's where it says in the text, all the dietary laws are gone. That's why it's not an offense to God to eat pork when the Old Testament clearly says, don't eat pork, for which I am thankful that we can eat pork because there would go half my breakfast food. Anyway, now, the disciples, all right, were not unclean because of what they ate. They were unclean because of how they reacted to other people, treated other people, how they behaved, what they said. The Pharisees were unclean because of the words they spoke. They were leading the people astray. If you do this, this, and this, God will then accept you and you will be blessed. You know, Jesus was never one to skip a fight with the Pharisees. You'll never read the Gospels where he says to the Pharisees, I don't have time for you today. He would always turn, face them, and challenge them. I think that destroys the TV image, you know, the old movies that I've seen of Jesus as this starry-eyed, soft-spoken man. When he's arguing with Pharisees, don't you have the idea the volume got a little loud? He wasn't speaking nice and soft and blessed are the meek. No, I have an idea. He could rough and tumble in an argument with the best of them. By the way, he also never modified the truth. He never says, can we compromise on this? Jesus would always say, the kingdom of God is like. He never compromised with the Pharisees. And he also never quit trying. He never gave up on the Pharisees. You know, he could have said, you're a lost group. I can't deal with you. I got other things to take care of. But he never gave up on them. Now, he left them alone. What a sad word. He left them alone. So for a period of time, he said, okay, you guys try to figure this out. Now I'm going to talk to the multitude. The text talks about them falling into a ditch where they will face judgment at one point. The leaders always face a harsher penalty than those that they deceived. And then Peter asks the question, explain this parable to us. You know, not only does Jesus show love to a lot of people, but he also then turn around and reprimand them. So he loved the people, and then Peter's got this, as Jesus would almost say, Peter, this is a dumb question. You should already know the answer. He reprimands Peter. Then he goes on to explain again about the food going into the body is not what defiles it. It's what coming out. Jeremiah wrote, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There is not a single sin in a spoken word or an action undertaken that was not first in the heart. All sins are conceived in the heart, and then they're either voiced or acted upon or created here but not acted on. It also can also be a sin. And I know I've ranted and raved about it, but when people always say, follow your heart, my heart's a corrupt little organ in there because it's seen as the center of all emotions and intellect. All right? Why am I going to follow something when my heart says I should do this? You know, if you can see it, I'm blinking my eyes, you know, giving you the eyelash look, you know, deer in the headlights. All right. But these are the things that pollute a person is what comes out of them. And we have to, a lesson to learn from this text is we got to be very careful that we do not equate tradition with Scripture. There's a false confidence sometimes that if we do these things this way because we've always done them, somehow it makes it right, or that God will accept it more. The apostles were about serving other people. Throughout the gospel lessons, you see them serving other people. The Pharisees were all about adherence to the law. Tradition. I spoke about tradition last week. It has a very valuable role. But tradition is a human invention. In other words, I hate to say this, but we Lutherans, we can change. I know, you'll be okay. It's all right. Jesus tells the crowd that no food is unclean, but it's what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. It's contrary to the whole idea that righteousness came from doing what is right. Jesus condemned that belief, that righteousness comes from doing what is right, because it obscures the real issue. It's the heart, not the food, that's the source of uncleanliness. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.